what he was talking about.
Oh, is that on the...
That's what he was talking about. Oh.
All right. I call this meeting of the Houghton Community Council to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Neil Black?
Here.
Kelly Curtis?
Here.
Brian Gothrop? Bill Goggins?
Here.
John Kapler?
Here.
Betsy Pringle?
Here.
Rick Whitney?
Here. So, our agenda for tonight, I've got some minutes to... Actually, we didn't see any minutes in my packet. Were there minutes to approve?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay, so no minutes. Council member reports and comments, review of the work program. We currently don't look like we're having any audience participation. And then we have some unfinished business on the city-initiated comp plan amendments, and then the Bridal Trails neighborhood plan, new business, and election of officers. So with that, do we have any council member reports and comments? Yes, John.
I have two. First, I'm sure on behalf of our entire council, I'd like to congratulate Adam on your position at the city.
So yes, congratulations. Absolutely.
I think we'll probably hear more about that later in terms of a replacement for you, that sort of thing. So congratulations. Item number two, I want to report back to the council on the tree code update that we've discussed. There have been a couple of stakeholder groups, the Master Builders Association, which is sort of hurting the development community, has been meeting with neighborhood representatives from the Finn Hill neighborhood, which also were in charge of the Holmes Point overlay. They've been working through diligently elements of the tree code and have come up with a very good trajectory on how they think they would like to propose to the Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council. At one of the meetings, there were three staff members, Rick from the Houghton Community Council, and the Planning Commission meeting, unfortunately, couldn't attend, that heard and listened to some comments, gave a teeny bit of input. That was reworked, and then I think a pretty good outline with a couple of comments then were forwarded to the city. Adam has reviewed them and has not yet gotten back, but I do think that the word was given that they were making very, very good progress and actually would actually like to continue to meet and talk about some items. So I sat and participated with that whole thing as part of the development community, not representing our council at all. And I think from two groups that you would think were completely diametrically opposed, worked very well together, had very good compromise together, had very good objectives and goal setting on how to reach the objectives in the comprehensive plan. And I frankly hope that can continue. So, it's my book report.
Thank you.
Any other member council reports?
I have two items in my communication with our Central Houghton Neighborhood Association. One's about 4th of July, one's about communication. I can talk about them now, or we could do it new business now. Okay, so Central Houghton Neighborhood Association has grant money to do a flyer later this summer, and they're planning on sending it to all residences within the Houghton neighborhood, Central Houghton. So I talked to Larry about possibly including some information about us, how to sign up for our listserv, our mission, and so forth. He was amenable to that and wanted me to talk to you guys first. So if you guys think it's a good idea, perhaps we can make a kind of subcommittee to work on that with them. Second item is they have decided not to do a 4th of July float. I said, well, we might do an entry in the parade. Do you want to help us? And Larry again said that they'd be willing to help us with that.
Okay.
So any thoughts on the flyer?
John?
Are we allowed to do that?
That's one of the things we have to figure out. And Larry said that he would love to have our information. We have to be careful what we put in it and, of course, make sure that we don't break any, quasi-judicial
rules. We can't market. We can't
This, and this, in my mind, but again, we have to check it out, it would just be, you know, for information about Houghton Community Council, go here.
I used to, for about 10 years, I wrote the newsletter for the Neighborhood Association.
We had the Houghton section of the paper.
Well, that was the newspaper, but there was also just a newsletter. Yeah, there's a newsletter that went to the CHNA. And we often published things about Houghton Community Council, what it is, the differences between the two, just to educate people about it. I think that's totally fine.
Yeah.
What they want, I mean, that's pretty much what they want. Yeah, just like you have this council, this is what its, you know, responsibilities are. It's not the Neighborhood Association, you know, what you can and can't do. So, yeah, I think it's, as long as it's informational, I think.
I think so, too.
Totally.
Yeah, I was going to say, John, if it was just... just trying to educate the educate the public? Is that different in your mind than the kind of your first thought had to do with marketing? Is that different in your mind?
I know the city attorney had some pause over some of the items on our Facebook page. And Kathy asked us to remove that. So I just want to make sure that we don't.
Yeah. And whatever we do will get approved by all powers to be. So, if everybody's comfortable, shall I move forward and report back?
I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Anybody oppose that? Okay. Thanks, Kelly.
You're welcome.
And then the parade. Should we add that to our new new business items so we can discuss that?
I don't know that that's necessarily the Houghton business. I think that's just something we do on the side. And, you know, I really do. I don't see that as a business item.
Okay.
But I do think we should do something for the 50th. Yeah. Draw attention. Okay.
All right.
And, you know, I had also asked Adam if he would make some comments about the tree ordinance. He was going to actually talk about that under new business, but maybe since we've already got the input from John, you can kind of add
the beans,
to it. That's okay. You didn't know that. So, Adam, maybe you can supplement what John said as far as how the process is proceeding.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I really appreciate, John's synopsis of how...
Hope it doesn't start out with, I would like to correct.
No. Never does, right? No, we're very, very appreciative of the work that Master Builders and Finn Hill Neighborhood Alliance did on this. I mean, it was really, the sort of Herculean task. It's a lot to update Chapter 95, and to get these two sort of polar opposite groups together in the same room talking about trees in minute detail was pretty fantastic. You know, these were all volunteers, John and Rick took part as well, as John mentioned. All volunteers sort of getting together on their own time to come up with a solution for something that's been really, really tricky in the past and continues to be really tricky. Lots of really great ideas came out of the discussion. The Finn Hill Neighborhood Alliance and Master Builders provided both sort of a cover memo to their code amendments, which sort of outlines the big issues that they tackled, and then they also provided some pretty detailed proposed code amendments that we can take into account as we're moving our work forward. So, they cover everything from, making the code more predictable by getting rid of some of the more loose language related to tree protection to upping the number of credits that are required to be either preserved or planted on development lots, to coming up with sort of new terminology for and new methodologies for protecting groups of trees. There's new, instead of having a different hierarchy, the existing hierarchy of high retention value trees, the group simplified that. Landmark trees, significant trees with a lot of protections awarded to landmark trees. And there's lots of other components as well. There's still some disagreement in parts of the code, like, for instance, related to the integrated development process, whether that should be instituted citywide. And so what we're doing right now is we're really just going through pretty methodically the code amendments that the group has proposed. We're meeting with our internal tree code update group and just really winnowing and sifting through all the various code amendments. I do think a lot of the elements will be brought over into the code that we'll end up bringing both to you and the Planning Commission. But we still have a little bit of work to do, and we've been following up with mainly with Gina from Master Builders and Scott from Finn Hill Neighborhood Alliance on points of clarification where we need it. So we definitely have a good amount of work ahead of us to do, but we're really, really appreciative of the this consortium's work on the code update. We're bringing some concepts and some preliminary code amendments to Planning Commission on February 14th, probably. The date is subject to change, but we're bringing, yeah, some preliminary code amendments to Planning Commission on the 14th of next month, based on feedback that we've gotten from Houghton Community Council, feedback that we've gotten from Planning Commission, feedback that we've gotten from the Finn Hill Neighborhood Alliance Master Builders Group, feedback that we've gotten from the City Council, feedback that we've gotten from all the public that we've outreached to. So that'll happen at Planning Commission in the middle of February, and then I'm guessing that we'll bring some code amendments back to your group in March sometime, I think, although, you know, the dates are still a little bit subject to flux because we have a lot of work ahead of us. But when we bring it back to you, there'll be a lot of time before we end up going to City Council, so a lot of time for you guys to digest the code and work on it and provide suggestions for refinement. So I think we're hoping to wrap up the overall process in, you know, probably the May timeframe, if I had to estimate the end date, but you'll see it well before then.
When do you anticipate public hearing?
I think it'll be sometime in April, March, April.
Is there a reason that if you're presenting it to the planning
commission, yeah,
in mid-February, that we wouldn't see it at our February meeting?
Yeah, I think bringing it back to you guys in February is definitely a distinct possibility. I sort of just want to get a little bit more comfort with the direction that we're going in from the Planning Commission. I mean, I think we've gotten a lot of great feedback from all of the groups in the past. And, yeah, I think coming back in February is a distinct possibility, but I think we want it maybe just a little bit more baked before bringing it back to you guys. And if you have a preference for seeing it in February, we can work on that as well.
I think at a minimum, I'd like to at least see where you're at in February. Maybe not, you know, full, but I don't want it to get too far down the road without our checking in on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
Great.
So, yeah, that's sort of where we are with the tree code update.
Excellent. Thanks, Adam. This kind of segues into the work program review, and so looking at that, I'm thinking I wanted to ask. Oh, I wanted to point out for everybody that I got we're going to be in April 25th. Mark your calendars. That's going to be a joint meeting with the Planning Commission, public hearing. And it's on the Shoreline Master Plan update.
April 25th?
April 25th. Yeah, Joan sent me that email, and so I want to be sure everybody got that on their calendars. And I also noted that on the schedule of development projects that Northwest University Master Plan is currently under review. What's the projected timing for that, Adam?
Yeah, so actually the critical path item for that was the CEPA review, which actually just arrived in my office. So I'm in the process of reviewing it right now, and we can't really talk much about it because it's a quasi-judicial project. But, yeah, the CEPA review was pretty intensive for this project. Just there were a lot of traffic impacts and sort of related impacts that had to be analyzed. So that's on my desk right now. Yeah.
So I know you can't give us nothing substantive, but just, is this something we're probably looking at months out? Is it?
No, I think it's going to be, assuming we can sort of resolve these last sort of traffic impact issues, I think probably in the next 2 months, I would say, that we come to you.
Huh?
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, we do have a little bit of work to do on that as well.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
I can give an update on the work program really quickly as well if you're interested. Sorry, Kelly, did you have a question or?
Just because we were talking calendar, I won't be here February 25th.
Okay. But did you said that you may be able to call in from Wisconsin?
Yes, definitely be able to do that.
Yeah.
Since we're talking calendar, I won't be here on the March meeting, which is March
25th.
So.
Okay. No Neil.
And so if you guys are going to talk about tree ordinance, you know how much I want to wordsmith that thing. I want to spend like 30, 40 minutes wordsmithing that. So I'm going to be really disappointed if you talk. I'm going to be super disappointed if we're talking about the tree ordinance and I'm not here.
We better schedule it for March.
Is it any chance that you also could be teleconferencing with us? Be participated by phone?
I could, actually, yes.
Is that something we can accommodate for Kelly and Neil?
Yeah, let me check. I don't think I don't know if we've done it before in the recent past. I think not since I've arrived, but we can look into it.
All right. Yeah. I think we did it before, and we just used that little thing to...
Yeah, I did it before.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. Anything else?
Just really quick update on the work program. So we'll probably bring the planning work program in draft form back to you at the end of February as well, even though it's not shown on the calendar. We've had a pretty busy year this last year and accomplished a lot of projects, thanks in large part, actually, to the folks sitting next to me. We really made it through a lot of projects, the neighborhood plans, geohazards regulations, tree canopy assessment, PUD code update, lots of really important projects. And then we got a start on a lot of projects as well in the last year, like the sign code update and shoreline master program and other projects. And last Thursday, the Planning Commission had a retreat where we talked about new projects that could be added to the 2019 to 2021 work program. And, a lot of them are sort of projects that derived out of work that we've done in the last year, like amendments to our the part of our zoning code that relates to accessory dwelling units or triplexes, duplexes, and sort of missing middle housing. And then there are other ones like the Urban Growth Center. That's actually one that wasn't on our old work program, but bringing back the Homes Point Overlay project, undertaking the planning work around the new station at 85th and 405, Bridal Trail Shopping Center, are all sort of candidates for inclusion on the next three-year work program. So we'll be refining that one more time with the Planning Commission probably, and then we'll bring it back to you guys for thoughts as well, and then we'll have a joint... we're having a joint study session with the Planning Commission and City Council in March, and then after that, it'll be adopted. So that's sort of the pathway for the work program moving forward from here.
Okay.
So yeah, congrats to you folks as well for all the input that you provided on the projects that came before you, because you actually saw a good chunk of them and made them better as well. So thanks.
Thank you. Is this a proper time for you to make your comment about your replacement?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're one of the first bodies to know this, but I'm also pleased to announce that Jeremy McMahon, who is our planning manager, is going to be the deputy planning and building director moving forward. So, Jeremy is, I think you've all probably been exposed to Jeremy in one form or another. If not, you'll see him pretty soon. But he is somebody with, something like 30 years experience here at the city of Kirkland. He's really an expert in everything. Planning and zoning. He's been involved in a lot of our long-range projects. He's a really extraordinary guy. He has a great sense of humor in light of everything as well. You'll really, really like working with him. And he'll probably formally start working in his new position in the next couple of weeks. He's chilling out in Hawaii right now, actually. he's not here. But
well, we can teleconference him in.
We can teleconference, right. We'll have to drown out the waves, mute out the waves crashing in the background, I guess. But anyway, yeah, we're really pleased that he's stepping up to the position. He has a lot of new ideas about the position, a lot of institutional knowledge, a lot of relationships both with people within the city and outside of the city, a lot of respect from decision makers and appointed officials as well. So I'm really, really excited about the appointment and, happy he'll be stepping up. So
great.
Yeah, I'll be sending out actually the email about him tonight probably to staff.
Good choice.
Yeah, thanks.
Don't say anything until tomorrow. You
okay.
It's okay. Yeah, the word, I think, is out. But, yeah, email, the official email will go out tonight.
All right. Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. We have no audience to request comments, so I think we can move on to our city-initiated comp plan amendments.
Good evening, everyone, and this could be very, very short.
It will be.
I will skip to the chase here. I will just go right ahead and say that we're recommending that you adopt the resolution to approve the 2018 city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments. They contain amendments that we have to do annually to our capital facilities plan, which is in the capital facilities element of the comprehensive plan. We rezoned a park property Juanita Heights up in Juanita. We have new geologically hazardous areas map that you've seen before to bring them into consistency with the new regulations that were adopted in 2018, and we have minor non-policy related amendments, and they're all in your packet, and that's a very quick synopsis of what we do every year. Thank you.
And nothing new that we hadn't already reviewed and recommended approval.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
There were some slight tweaks that the City Council makes, which we all expect and know about between when you saw it in a study session and when they adopt an ordinance for the capital facilities, capital improvement program and the budget. They tweak along the way. Yeah.
And we're not going to overrule them on that. Okay. So anybody have any questions for Joan?
In detail, would you review every?
Okay, no, hearing none. The chair would welcome a motion to approve the 2018 City Initiated Comprehensive Plan Amendments, Ordinance 4672.
So moved.
It's our resolution 2019 too. So it's been moved by Kelly. And seconded by Bill. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you so much, Joan.
Thank you very much.
Told you to be quick. Thank you. And with that, we are going to move on to the Bridal Trails Neighborhood Plan.
Anybody need a recess?
Okay. These resolutions where we don't get to wordsmith are just really just... That's what Betsy and I enjoy most, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good evening. Staff recommends that you approve or take final action on the Bridal Trails Neighborhood Plan that was adopted by City Council on December 11th. Here's a summary of some of the, just to refresh your memory, some of the meetings that were held. If you'd like me to just go over these different dates,
no,
it's up to you.
Sorry.
Not necessary? Okay. All right. Then I'll just go over next steps once adopting the Bridal Trails Neighborhood Plan. In 2019-2020, we have on the tentative work program code amendments for the BCX zone, and that would encompass the Bridal Trail Shopping Center. But we're really waiting for, and those code amendments would, we would make sure they comply with the policies in the Bridal Trails Shopping Center. But we're waiting for the developer property owners to initiate that request, and we haven't heard from them yet for that. We are plenty busy doing other things. We will also be working on code amendments for the compact housing like and ADUs like Adam mentioned, so just for your information. So, okay, that's the end of my presentation.
That's great, yeah. Janice, well, I appreciate it. Now we got some questions for you, okay. John.
Hi, nice to see you.
Hi.
So the first question I have is on the BCX zone. I understand, I think I read in here that that's going to be back through a hearing process, but I don't think that's, it is an actual hearing process to change this again.
Yeah. Now the process that will need to occur are the process for zoning code amendment process that we use, just like for updating the comp plan, zoning code amendment. So what we envision there for the BCX zone is having a more robust neighborhood meetings with to discuss conceptual site plan or development plans for the BCX zone, and then public hearing would have, or planning commission would have study sessions. and a public hearing. So just like our normal code amendments, and City Council would make final approval of the code amendments.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. My second question then is the same for the revision of the single family zone housing, allowing the, it already allows ADUs, but the numbers might change. Who knows?
Right.
And the duplexes and the triplexes. So,
yes, that's the same process for a zoning code amendment that we're looking at for now. We're looking at approaching that project citywide. In all the neighborhoods, in all the single-family neighborhoods. We haven't really scoped the areas, but for now we're looking at single-family areas citywide, and you would see draft code for that.
Okay. Yeah, just to clarify that, or just to add to what Jenna said, you know, we have those code amendments are coming from two directions. One is housing strategy plan that was adopted by the city, you know, which is citywide, and then also the policies in the Bridal Trails and the Rose Hill plans. And so that's sort of why it more from a neighborhood focused code amendment that would just be within Rose Hill and Bridal Trails is something that would be citywide, because the housing strategy plan really calls for us to take, you know, deep dives into our existing housing regulations to promote more of the types of housing that we want. And duplexes, triplexes, cottages, ADUs represent the type of housing that we want more of in the city based on our adopted plan. So.
Okay. Do you know yet, have you taken a deep dive into Representative Pablo's proposed legislation about upgrading zoning in proximity to transit and how that would affect the housing policy? Have you done that deep dive yet? I know it's still in committee.
Yeah, there's lots of, there's a lot of housing bills out there right now that are being introduced by the legislature, and we are reviewing probably all of them. There was one bill that came across our desk that related to, and I don't know if this is the one that you're talking about, but Palumbo was a sponsor, and it related to upzoning areas within a half mile of light rail stations to 150 units an acre, which is a lot of density within a half mile of transit stations, would encompass quite a bit of Houghton as well, actually, and we expressed some pretty serious concerns about that legislation. So,
and you've already sent that off.
Okay. It's going through. The City Council has a legislative review committee. They digest all of the staff recommendations and then they make their own conclusions about the project, which then get fed into our sort of legislative team that actually goes to Olympia. We had some pretty serious concerns, at least on the staff level, about that one. Yeah.
Thank you.
Kelly?
I just want to compliment you. I think this is a great end product and a great process. So
thank you.
Yeah, and quick.
Thank you.
So,
yes, quick.
Really good. There's a lot of things I loved about it. I love that it's aspirational. I love all the greenways and the connections to paths and so forth. So I think it's really well done. But speaking of wordsmithing, on page 11, it says under transportation, the Cross Kirkland Corridor and the Houghton Shopping District. I just feel like we should be consistent in our language, and we should have called it the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center instead of the Houghton Shopping Center, since that's what it's known as now.
Well, maybe Bridal Trails, that's how they know us. I don't know.
Well, good true.
Call. Good call.
True.
Yeah.
And then, oh, and the other thing I was going to mention is I was really happy to see that children's recreation space stayed in BT7, so thank you for that. That's a win.
Other questions?
No, nice job.
I want to ask Adam one clarification on what John had asked, and that is, I got had a call from one of the people who's been a big neighborhood activist as far as this, and they were saying, well, okay, where is it under policy BT7 that specifically requires a full public process? How do they, you know, it? I know that's the stated intent, but
it says City Council approval.
Yeah. City Council does a lot of approval without a full public process.
Yeah, and in the zoning code amendment process, in the zoning code specifies, you know, whenever you do code amendments, it is specified to go through the process for requirements. So that's Planning Commission study sessions, public hearing, and recommendation to City Council for final adoption. So City Council, everything will need to come before the City Council, all the proposed code amendments. That makes sense.
Yeah, I would also add, if it's the entire process, the process for that Janice was just describing isn't as explicit in the actual policy as you want. I mean, the entire record for the project, including the meetings, the City Council and Planning Commission meetings leading up to adoption of the plan, indicate really clearly that it will be a chapter. It will be a four process mm-hmm. For this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes, the intent which drives to the codified language doesn't get carried forward with the ease that it ought.
Yeah.
So, maybe a comment including process for or something. Would that?
That was their concern. Is that he said, yeah, I understand. That's everybody's stating that's the intent, but it would really give them some sense of if there's some assurance written into the plan that there's. Or even, I don't know how you do it, but if you can just reference it somewhere where they've got something they can go back to and say, hey, you guys committed to a robust public process, not just a cursory public hearing.
I think this is a good idea because I remember in the Houghton plan that I relied on for many years, I think when it talked about Northwest College and when it talked about the Houghton Center, I think it specified that these would go through process 2B. Planning, and so as a new person coming into a neighborhood and reading the plan, you have no idea what any of that, that it'll be City Council approved. So if it actually says this is a process for hearing, then I can look that up online. I can say, I know what a process for is. But if it doesn't say it in the plan, I think that's a great idea to maybe just put that.
I guess there's two decision points. One is first the development of the zoning code regulations, and then when that draft code is drafted and goes before the Planning Commission, then you have another. When you're developing that code, the Planning Commission can discuss and City Council can decide if there's a review process required for redevelopment, like Northwest College. When their master plan requires a quasi-judicial review process of that master plan, it's a process 2B, which is planning, hearing examiner, public hearing recommendation to City Council. So I hope that's clear that, when we're developing these draft regulations for the BCX zone, that we can all ask ourselves and City Council, do you want a quasi-judicial review process.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. No. So I'm just saying but backing up, I really will strongly recommend, and I know, Adam, we will, when we talk to the property owners and or developers, when we're before we develop the code amendments for the BCX zone, to hold neighborhood meetings. We do recommend that for... So outside the study session, when they're first starting out, meet with the neighborhood people to talk more about design issues.
Is there anything, I think what we're trying to get at, is there something that would require them to do that? Doesn't the process 4B require public participation?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Before the public hearing, though. Because just coming to a public hearing, it's kind of too late at that point sometimes.
Yeah. People are always encouraged to attend the study sessions.
I think that's...
And we have a handout. We do encourage controversial projects, developers, to hold neighborhood meetings. Yeah. So we can require that.
Yeah.
All I'm looking for is, and Adam, I'm curious if you have any... how can we give them some sense that there's a commitment to a robust public process as opposed to a cursory public hearing?
I mean, I think maybe the best way to do this, and Janice, chime in, or council, chime in if you disagree, but We can add a statement like that to the resolution that you're adopting tonight, just to make it explicitly clear, if that makes sense.
Yes, we could, yeah.
So it wouldn't necessarily be written into the code, but it's part of the resolution that you adopt where you make clear that you know, that's your expectation. But again, I think that the entire record before us shows that a robust public process, as Janice indicated, is really the expectation for this and was really the genesis of the whole idea for sort of carving this off of the plan in the first place and sending it through a separate legislative process. But I think if you want to make that explicitly clear, let's just add some language into the resolution that you're adopting tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Okay. Well, it's probably as good a time as any to come up with adding. Hey, there's a wordsmither here. A couple of them, you guys. Well, let's think about inserting something that gives us some.
So what's the intent? What is it that you want?
Well, the intent is to make our approval, our approval is basically conditioned upon the commitment and understanding that there is to be a full, a robust public process through this 4B approval. You know, I'm not trying to give you the words, but I mean that's the essence of it. That is a commitment to us approving this.
Might help if we could get the paragraph where it states will be approved by the city and maybe reference that in the intent.
Subject to council's understanding.
If you could find that for us, Janice.
I think what we're talking about is probably, I'm talking now to my fellow council members, I think we're probably talking about sort of a, whatever our language is for our resolution.
It's on the back page.
Yeah, right.
We already got it, so we just add another whereas.
Right, well.
Is it a whereas or is it a?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that it's just a whereas.
I
think that's my point.
Yeah. It's on page 5, 1, 2, 3, third paragraph, first sentence. That's where it is. On page 5. In addition to the above standards, the allowed mixed-use development up to 5 stories after the city council has approved. That's where it was.
Oh, are you looking at the policy BT7? Or your resolution.
Yeah, see, we're not amending BT7.
We're not rewriting it, but we're referring to that, and just a clarification or you know, something that clearly states that this is through the 4B process with a full and a commitment to a full a robust public process as opposed to a cursory hearing.
So I could I can propose a whereas clause, yes. And you could sort of take it from there if you want.
Sure, let's start with it.
And yeah, you know, I don't necessarily know if it really matters where we put it in the resolution, but it could be something like, you know, whereas the Houghton Community Council strongly endorses a process for process with robust public involvement for development of the Bridal Trails plan for development of the plan for the Bridal Trail Shopping Center as specified in BT7, policy BT7, you know, something like that. I know that probably needs a little bit of wordsmithing itself, but I think it...
Good start.
Yeah.
Okay. Go with it.
Sorry.
Come on, our wordsmithers.
So did we... Are we strongly advising it, or are we requiring it, or are we...
I think this is what I was saying earlier. I think our approval is, comma, subject to... our understanding that the public process will include a robust blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right?
I like that better.
Right. I don't think it's a recital. I think what we're saying is we're approving this subject, comma, subject to our understanding that when BT7 says a public process, it's or a public hearing or whatever the exact word in BT7 is, when it says public process, it is a... robust public process involving X, Y, or Z.
It doesn't even refer. That's part of the problem. It doesn't refer to a public process. It just says after.
Well, it does say city council approval.
Yeah, and, but that's not a robust process.
Well, and
no, but when it says city council approved, subject to our understanding that
approval is
that city council approval will involve a robust public process.
Correct. Yes.
Well,
something like that.
Chapter 4?
Process 4.
What we're stating is our approval is subject to an understanding, and we're going on record as to what that understanding is, mm-hmm. which is that the city approval cited in BT7 is going to involve a robust process.
The process for zoning code process.
Okay. Can you get the exact? It's only a sentence.
Not me.
One sentence.
I'm sorry.
One sentence that we're agreeing on here and.
Well, I think what our resolution is, we're going to have a motion shortly.
Yep.
At the end of this discussion, we're going to have a motion to approve Houghton Community Council Resolution 2019 to take final action on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, comma, subject to the council's understanding that the city approval cited in BT7 will involve a process for review.
I would rather see it in the body of the resolution rather than saying that we're passing this resolution with the understanding. I'd rather see it added in the resolution itself. So which means you're just adding another another
section
paragraph. That's it. Yeah. So it's just whatever the language is that you're. I like how you worded it, Neil. If you can just give us that sentence.
Okay,
we'll figure out where to insert it in the resolution.
Well, I think what you wrote was approval is subject to our understanding that BT7 is approved through a process for city council approving involving a robust
public process.
Public process.
That sound like what you're saying, Neil? Where would
I would ask Betsy that. if that's
where would you insert that?
I think it's in our
whereas clause, or
I don't think it's a whereas clause. I think it's
which whereas paragraph?
Well,
I think it's the now therefore. It's now the resolution.
Therefore.
Okay.
The resolution appears in the now therefore paragraph, and that's where the council is resolving to approve the ordinance. And so it's there that we would add.
Just add at the end of that sentence.
Comma subject to.
Yeah.
If that's the intent, of the majority of our council, that we want to make our approval subject to that understanding, which it sounds to me like a majority of the council does.
I believe that's everybody's intent.
Oh, in section 3, we're going to add it to section 3?
No, it would just be under the resolution in the very last where it says, now therefore be it resolved, and then we would add on.
Section 6.
Oh, am I in the wrong resolution?
That's the council's resolution.
No, section 6. It's just
In that part of the resolution.
I see.
No. Look at the resolution's at the very back.
Yeah.
Very back page.
Yeah, I think all the council's now on the same page, which is
that was the problem.
Which is the back page.
Oh, okay.
So we are now all on
the original.
Yeah. No, you're.
It took me a while too, but I got on the same page with you a little while ago. But
the very back page, and just add at the where it says now, therefore, be it resolved. And at the end of that, be comma, subject to whatever Neil said.
Subject to the
understanding?
The council's understanding that the city approval cited in BT7 will involve, and here I would say either we're going to say a process for review, or we're going to simply say something more generic like a robust public review process.
I would say process for city council approving involving a robust public process.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a friendly
robust.
We're not doing actual amendments, but I'll take that as a friendly amendment.
Okay.
Robust is a little too subjective.
Okay. Well, because you're making the council now is making the general statement, followed by a more succinct statement concerning the process for.
Yes.
Right.
Now, do you have the language?
Read it.
Okay, John, I need that friendly amendment a little bit. So, okay, so.
Thanks for being with it.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
But I just want to make sure that we're all.
Okay. Uh-huh. So it would. The resolution, which is the now therefore clause in the, would read, now therefore be it resolved that ordinance 4669 is hereby approved and shall be effective within the Houghton Community Municipal Corporation, comma, subject to the council's understanding that the city approval cited in BT7 shall involve a process for approval involving a robust public process. End of sentence.
Can I just read it back one more time just so we can make sure we get it right?
Yes.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that ordinance number 4672 is hereby approved by the Houghton
4669.
No, it's 4672.
No, you're...
Resolution 2021.
Sorry, yeah, it was
wrong document.
You were looking at the comp plan amendments.
I think he's looking at something from the Parks Board.
Totally wrong. Got it. So now therefore be it resolved that ordinance 4669 is hereby approved and shall be effective within the Houghton Community Municipal Corporation, subject to the council's understanding that the city's approval cited in BT7. Shall involve a process for involving robust public process. Is that right?
We need to specify the process for as a zoning code amendment process, or that's the only process for you got in the city.
I think process for is pretty is the only process for that we know of in the city, but
okay.
Should we be more explicit? I mean, to you guys, it's process four, but right. To somebody who's not knowledgeable, would they call it process four?
In the zoning code.
Zoning code?
Yeah.
Approval or?
Mm-hmm. In the zoning code, probably.
Yeah,
is good.
Chapter
Would it be enough to say zoning code process four?
That's what I'm asking. What would be
chapter 160 of the zoning process four listed in.
Maybe it's a
zoning code.
Yeah, let's
call it. It's an approval process. It's a zoning. It's a
process for zoning
process
code approval.
Approval process
listed in the zoning code. I would just say that because there are several chapters.
Yeah.
Depending on if you're doing zoning map changes or, and I hate to get real specific on which chapter.
Why don't we just say zoning code process for it? I think that's a good.
Okay, and then I would make one more comment. We do not refer to ourselves simply as the council in the resolutions. We refer to ourselves as Houghton Community Council, so we should do the same in the subject clause.
And I would also use policy BT7 instead of just BT7.
Yes.
That's good.
Got it. Want to read it one more time, Adam?
Yeah, sure. So now, therefore, et cetera. I'm going to just read the whole thing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that ordinance number 4672.
4669.
Sorry, Pat. Sorry, I keep flipping back for some reason. My notes are on the comp plan amendment page. I'm sorry. Now, therefore, be it resolved that ordinance 4669 is hereby approved and shall be effective within the Houghton Community Municipal Corporation, subject to the Houghton Community Council's understanding that the city's approval cited in policy BT7 shall involve a zoning code process for involving a robust public process. Is that okay?
How's that sound? I think you got it.
All right.
Bill, did you have something to add? No, that's okay. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it.
Sorry for the confusion on the ordinance. I keep flipping back.
We're going to have to keep this for the next 20 years, and when you have your retirement party, we'll...
It'll go right in my blackmail file.
So, Chair, will you entertain a motion now?
The Chair will entertain a motion.
Okay. So, a motion, I move that the Council approve the resolution as stated moments ago by staff.
Resolution 2019-1, as... With the
modifications
as stated by Adam Weinstein's last rendition.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Discussion, discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hey.
Thank you,
Janice.
Thank
I know
you.
It was
Thank
a
you. Hard work.
A lot of work. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay.
One little item under new business.
Oh, John's got something for us under new business.
Under new business, Adam, we reviewed a document recently, and I apologize for not bringing it to give it to your specific attention. But the changes were put together like the building code every 3 years is revised. And in the left-hand column, there's a vertical bar that shows the changes specifically for the section between the old and the new. I will tell you, for design professionals to rifle through code after code after all these jurisdictions that we work with, thousands and thousands of pages, to find the difference between what we remember it was, what we're looking for, and what it might have changed to, it's extremely helpful to find the little vertical bar in the margin that identifies this is the area that changed. And I'd simply like to ask, is there a possibility of looking at that as we review through some of the new upcoming codes that are quite voluminous, like the Shoreline Master Program, like the tree code section, et cetera, because, you know, if it hasn't changed and there's no bar there, hasn't changed, it's a great way to highlight it. And if you'd like to see it, run to the building department and pick up any of the brand new codes, and you'll see them. There's a bar and a margin.
Okay.
And that's where it's different from the previous code.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Super, super simple to find stuff that way.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we can touch base afterwards, yeah, yeah, and you can tell me exactly what you're thinking about. But I can also check with building. But, yeah, that's something we are working on, especially with the tree code right now, which has a lot of changes. And, you know, there are code amendments that are minor in nature. There are code amendments in Chapter 95 that are major in nature. There are ones that still need to be considered by the various bodies, and so we're using, yeah, sort of a combination of track changes, color coding, and comments in the margin, which maybe sort of get to what you're talking about, but maybe we can touch base afterwards, and okay, I can look at that document.
As a sidebar, at the second joint meeting when we were all together, the first meeting was really good about outlining some of the things that they would like and some that the development community would like, and there was some agreement. I actually brought the tree code to the meeting with me, and the Fin Hill Neighborhood Association said, "You're kidding, right?" Because that whole thing's a tree code. How does anybody know this? They were just astounded that the tree code was as big as it was.
Yeah. Yep. Kills a lot of trees.
Okay. So we have our annual election of officers to attend to, and I did a little polling before this to just get a sense to cue this up, and John told me he has no interest in being the chair, but would enjoy being the vice chair again. Neil was medium interested in being chair, but more interested in being vice chair. Kelly was very interested in being chair, as I remember.
Well, the more I'm sitting here thinking about it, because you surprised me, and watching you in action, I'm like, no, I don't want to be chair.
And my attitude is what I've told you guys from the beginning. I'm willing to do it. I enjoy doing it. But I also think there's something to be said for, you know, having some new people take on positions of leadership. And so I'm totally, I will be completely at peace with not being chair or vice chair. In fact, I wouldn't want to supplant John. John actually probably does more work than I do behind the scenes. So truly, that would be, it's more important to keep John on than it is me. So having said that, I am going to open up nominations for vice chair for starters. Yes.
I'd like to nominate Jared Kapler for vice chair.
Okay. Any other nominations?
Well,
any other nominations?
Chair, if you don't want to be chair.
You did say that.
No. Well, okay, gotcha. A second.
Are we talking? Are you talking about me? Oh, you're talking about Rick, right?
Okay.
He nominated us second.
Well, there's no second. I mean, it's nominations, and if we have no further nominations, then by acclamation, nominations are closed, and by acclamation, John.
Well, hang on.
Just
to make sure that. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to nominate Neil just to see what happens here.
Sure. We'll see what happens.
Okay. We have Neil's nomination and John's nomination for vice chair.
I think as a nominee, I have the option to, I'm not sure what the right word is, but
accept or decline.
Yeah, decline the nomination. I'm actually going to decline the nomination. I think John's role is really important to the effective conduct of our committee, or our council, rather. So, thank you, though.
Okay, any further nominations? Going once, going twice. Nominations are closed. By acclamation, John Kapler is our vice chair again.
Do we have to take a vote to make that official?
No, it's by acclamation because there's no other nominees.
If I could make a couple of comments, I think, obviously, we've got some people here that would like to grow into this. And so I think we really should stay focused this year on disseminating as much information as possible that happens behind the scenes. So next year, you are happily ready to say, I'm ready, and can move forward. Because I have no issue with this at all. And so I want to make sure I do everything I can this year to disseminate anything I know that, you know, happens outside of what we do here, so we can share this responsibility so we can continue to move forward appropriately.
That's very generous of you.
Yeah, I think succession planning always makes sense in any. Absolutely. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Nominations for chair are open.
Go ahead.
And you can nominate yourself, too.
I'd like to nominate Rick Whitney.
No, I second.
Kelly, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You would be a fantastic chair.
Well, thank you, but I feel like I have a little more growing to do, so.
I will accept that if you will definitely be committed to stepping up next. Think you could do that?
Sure.
Because I think you'd be a great chair.
That's very kind.
I really do.
Thank you.
And I think you're ready. So I have no problem with you taking over right now if you wanted to.
No, I'd decline.
You sure?
Yeah. Thank you, though.
Okay. Any other nominations for chair? Going once. Going twice. Nominations are closed. I'm with you one more year.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right. I think with that, we really have no other business, so meeting adjourned.
Very good.
Thank you, guys.